You know, this time of the year, I always find myself looking back and looking forward. Does anybody else do that? Kind of looking back over the year and asking myself, okay, what has God done this year in my life and in the lives of my families and, you know, and Oak River, the people I love like family here at Oak River. And I think as we do that, I want to share a message called The Season of Wonder, Sacred Waiting. I want to talk about someone from the Christmas story that, in my opinion, gets far too often overlooked. And because his part of the story happens after the birth of the Savior, 8 days later, you might guess who I'm talking about. Simeon in the temple. I have a brother named Simeon, too, so I've always had an affection for this prophet named Simeon in the Bible. For generations, he had heard the Messiah was coming. And he must have lived in such a way, we'll talk about it as we read it, that he was very expectant for the Messiah. And I wonder how many of us in this room have things that have been spoken over us or promises we've read in the Word and we haven't seen them yet. I'm always moved by the verse in, I think it's Hebrews, that talks about the Hall of Fame faithers. And it says that all of them died without seeing the fulfillment of God's promise. Well, that's hopeful, Sandy. Thanks. But you know what? I think sometimes we just think too short term. We think too microwave. We do. And Simeon didn't do that. In Luke 2, 25 and 26, the New Living Translation today, it says that at that time, there was a man in Jerusalem named Simeon. He was righteous and devout and was eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. The Holy Spirit was upon him and had revealed to him that he would not die until he had seen the Lord's Messiah. What a promise from God. Like, what? For hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, they had talked about a coming Messiah to rescue Israel. And God gave Simeon a promise, you're not going to die until you see him with your eyes. That's amazing. But I want to look at Simeon first, and the way he's described, the word righteous is the first word that is mentioned about him. He was righteous, and I looked up the meaning of that word, and it means living day to day in God's ways. Living moment by moment according to God's ways. It means there was harmony between God's character and Simeon's actions. That's what it means. There was harmony. It doesn't mean he was a perfect guy. It doesn't mean he never made a mistake. It means he lived his life to the best of his ability, following God's ways. That was his lifestyle. Number two, it says he was devout. That word means something totally different. It means because of the holy fear of God, Simeon had an avoidance of doing anything contrary to what was right. Now, I found that wording very interesting in the dictionary that I looked at, the Greek dictionary, because what I noticed that it doesn't say he tried to avoid wrong. It says he tried to avoid doing anything that wasn't right. To me, that's different than avoiding wrong. Because sometimes I will not sin, I will not sin, I will not sin, but we don't look at what's best and avoid anything other than what's best. Oh, I love that he lived that way. I also love that he was, number three, eagerly waiting for the Messiah to come and rescue Israel. That means to expect with confidence. To eagerly wait is not to, come on, when's it going to happen? Come on, how long do I have to stand here in line? That's not what it means. It means to be eagerly confident that what God says he's going to do, he's going to do. When he's good and ready, in his perfect time. But number four got me the most. And I have 13, so I'm going to go fast. But number four I want to spend a little bit more time on, where it says the Holy Spirit was upon him. That word upon is the Greek word epi, like epi, pen, epi, okay? It's very interesting because it can mean the Holy Spirit was proceeding from him as springing from a pillar in the ground, okay? Can mean that. It can mean simply resting upon. And it can mean downward pressure on him with motion implied. Under pressure. Like, but pushing down on him. Okay? Some of us, we say we want the Holy Spirit to be fully in charge of our lives, but we don't understand that requires a springing up from within. It means a resting on, and it means a pushing down on sometimes. And I found myself crying out as I read this. Oh, I want the Holy Spirit upon me. Epi me. That if I need to spring forth with the Holy Spirit for someone, I want to spring forth with whatever the Holy Spirit has to say. If the Holy Spirit just wants to rest on me, I want to be still enough to let him rest on me. And if he wants to put pressure on me because he knows there's something inside of me that needs to be purified out, I want him to put pressure on me. I want carte blanche. Like I said, Christmas Eve, he has full control, carte blanche, right? Verses 27 through 32 say this, that day the Spirit led him to the temple. So when Mary and Joseph came to present the baby Jesus to the Lord as the law required, Simeon was there. He took the child in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, now let your servant die in peace as you have prepared, as you have promised. I have seen your salvation, which you have prepared for all people. He is a light to reveal God to the nations, and he is the glory of your people, Israel." Number five, I noticed that the Spirit led him. The Spirit led Simeon. But number six, I needed to separate this out because not only did the Spirit lead Simeon, Simeon followed the Spirit. And I found myself wondering how many times in my life when the Spirit has led me to do something or say something and I didn't follow. And this isn't about shame. This is about next time I'll do it differently. I want to be more attentive. I want to be more alert to the Spirit. And Simeon was very alert. And because of that, he got to see, number seven, the promise kept by God. And he didn't say, "I want to die." He said, "Now, when I die, I can die in peace." Now I'm allowed to die in peace, knowing that promise has been fulfilled that you kept. And then number eight, in verse 30, I love that he says, "I have seen God's salvation." I found it interesting that he didn't say, "I have seen the Messiah." He said, "I have seen God's salvation." And he was the first in the New Testament to prophetically say that it's prepared for all people, not just Israelites. This is for everybody. He was the first one to say in the New Testament to say it. And then he turns to Mary and Joseph and he says, "Your baby is a light to reveal God." Your baby is, I have a new grandson. He was born December 8th. I can't imagine someone saying, "Your baby is a light to reveal God." And yet I believe he is. You know, I think all babies are meant to be a light to reveal God. And then number 10, he says, "Your baby is the glory of God's people." Ooh, wow. I love that he had that kind of insight, not only to know it, but to speak it. I might have shared with you before that every time I've had a grandchild, I've asked the Lord to give me a specific word for that grandchild. And so when Oakland was born, I got the word destiny for him. And God confirmed it really beautifully in two different ways. So then when I shared that with Max and Taya, I don't know, it became a thing. So when Lenny was born 2 years later, I was like, okay, Lord, what's the word you have for her? And he gave me the word light bearer, light bearer. So when it's time for Esther to be born, before I even knew her name, God gave me the word for her. And it was beautiful strength. And then they told me what her name was. And I was like, oh, I started crying. Well, actually, Rem said, Mom, we're thinking about the name Esther. And I start crying because he's on the phone with me after she's been born. And he turns to Abby and goes, well, I guess Esther's her name. Mom's crying. So when I got to the hospital, I knew her parents were going to be there at the same time I was there to see the new baby. And I was praying on the way there whether I should share it there or maybe wait until I was alone with Rem and Abby. I was like, okay, Lord, you just lead the way. And I walk in the room. I brought lunch to them. And I walk in the room, and they start eating their lunch. And before I could even think about it twice, her parents were there, lovely people. Abby said, Mama Sandy, what word do you have for her? And I was like, oh, okay, we're doing this now. So I told them the story, beautiful strength. And then when Rowan was born, I got the words peaceful determination. Peaceful determination. He's already living up to that. He has Erb's palsy, so he's a hard time moving his left arm. It was a birth injury or an in utero injury, we're not sure, but they're working with him, and he'll go when it hurts a certain way, but then he'll stop crying. He'll so easily consoled for a newborn. I wonder how many times we miss the opportunity to speak a word over a baby or a person, an adult, to speak a word over them from the Lord. And Simeon did this. He was like, your baby is a light to reveal God. Your baby is the glory of God's people. And then verse 33-35, Jesus' parents were amazed at what was being said about him. Then Simeon blessed them, and he said to Mary, the baby's mother, this child is destined to cause many in Israel to fall and many others to rise. He has been sent as a sign from God, but many will oppose him. As a result, the deepest thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce your very soul. Now, we'll come back to that part. But first of all, number 11, they were amazed. That means to look on with wonder and marvel. They were like, wow. And honestly, there's a part of me that's like, well, an angel showed up and announced you were going to have a baby as a virgin, so why are you amazed? But maybe after going through 9 months of the muck of life, you forget. I do. But when Simeon said this, and the baby is 8 days old, and they're in the thick of it, because when the babies are 8 days old, there's a lot that has to be done, right? I can imagine 100 times more in that day than now even. And so they were amazed to look on with wonder and marvel. But number 12, he gave them a blessing. He blessed them. That means to distinguish with favor and confer happiness on. I love that. We don't go around conferring happiness enough on people. I know I don't. I try, but I've noticed if I go anywhere, to the grocery store, anywhere, to the car wash, if I just smile at someone and say something kind, it changes the atmosphere. It absolutely does. And I love that Simeon conferred happiness on them. But then, number 13, the last one, there are some hard truths that Simeon delivers too. You remember, up until now, Mary and Joseph have only heard incredible words about Jesus. The Lord is with you. You have found favor with God. Your son will be very great and will be called the Son of the Most High. He will reign over Israel forever, implying kingship. Your son will save his people from their sins. They will call him Emmanuel. God is with us. And so that's really all they've heard. The shepherds came and bowed down and worshiped. At this point, the wise men hadn't come yet. That gets a little convoluted in the Christmas story because they didn't come till he was about 2 years old. But at this point already, they've had some wild things happen, right? And now Simeon says, your baby will cause many in Israel to fall and others to rise. This had to be a very sobering moment for Mary and Joseph. Had to be. And then he said, he is a sign from God, but many will oppose him. Said the deepest thoughts of many will be revealed because of him. I'd be like shaking in my shoes at that point, for sure. But then the last one, that's a rough one. A sword will pierce your very soul. Soul is a combination of the mind, will, and emotions. And he says, a sword is going to pierce your mind, will, and emotions. But you know what I love about Mary? She accepted the hard truths with as much grace as she received the good things. That's what she did. So as we finish 2025 and enter 26, let's make it our aim to follow Simeon in these six points. I'm going to narrow it down to six because the rest of them are beyond us. But what if I live my life remembering that righteousness comes only through the blood of Jesus? It comes only through the blood of Jesus. So what that means is, like that song in Kele, my heart is crying out for you, Lord Jesus. Come inside. Stay. Abide within. That's become my heart cry so much for the last month. I can't hardly even pray without saying to God, my heart is crying out for you, Lord Jesus. Come inside. Stay. Abide within. Well, Sandy, you got saved a long time ago. Yes, I did. But every moment, I want to stay in his righteousness. I want to stay telling him, I want you to come inside. I want you to be inside. I want you to stay inside of me. I want you to abide within me. And I want to, number two, live a devout life. I don't want to just avoid wrong. I want to avoid anything that's not right. I don't want to trade in good or the best for just, okay, I'm safe. I'm in. I'm in heaven. I'm fine. I'm fine. I can do whatever I want, basically, and I'm still good. No, that's not the way to live. It's not the way to live in joy and peace. The way to live in joy and peace is, God, I want to do only what you've called me to do. Only what's best, what you say is best. I want to eagerly wait for the promises of God. Whether I see them or not, I don't ever want to stop waiting for them. And I want the Holy Spirit upon me. I want the Holy Spirit resting on me. I want the Holy Spirit springing from within me like a column from the ground. And I want the Holy Spirit pressing down on me as the Holy Spirit sees fit. I was talking to someone this week, and it was Megan actually, and I said, it's tough sometimes in my role as a pastor because I'm not a judgmental person by nature, in that if you do something, I can love you right through it. I just feel like God's given me a grace to love people right through it. But there are times when we're in the service and I can feel the Holy Spirit hovering over us. And then someone gets up and moves, or someone laughs out loud, or someone does something, And I don't think it scares the Holy Spirit away. Let's be clear on that. But I think what it does is it has the potential to draw someone's attention away from the spirit to the physical realm. And so I cringe. I know it's necessary, and like I said, there's no judgment, but I cringe sometimes because I can sense there's this presence hovering over us of the Holy Spirit, and then something happens that distracts in that moment. And I want us to live at Oak River in a way that we are highly attuned to His presence. And that we, when we feel His presence pressing down on us, we get very sober. We get very sober and very still and very humble. That's how I want to live. And then I want us to be led by the Spirit like Simeon was, and not only to be led, but to actually follow the Spirit. I felt so strongly as I was preparing today that many of you in this room need prayer today. And you feel it. Maybe something we've talked about with Simeon's life, or maybe something totally different. Maybe you're going through something physical or mental or emotional, or maybe you just know someone who is and you want to stand in prayer for them. So I ask a couple of our elders to go to the back of the room, if you could do that now. Mm-hmm. And we're going to do it a little differently this time. If you want prayer as you end out 2025 and step into 2026, if you want to leave anything behind in 2025, then go and get prayer at the back. If you need prayer for any reason, they're going to lay hands on you and pray for you. Because I want us to start, to end well and start well. That's my heart today. And so I invite you to move to the back. Maybe Megan or Doug, could one of you come up and do something at one of the keyboards and maybe sing to provide the right atmosphere for what the Holy Spirit wants to do? If you don't need prayer, stay where you are quietly and pray for whoever needs prayer. Just stay. We've got plenty of time. So stay still for a moment or two. And then if at any point you feel released by the Holy Spirit, get up quietly. Don't say a word to anybody and exit, and then go chat your heart out in the foyer and have a bagel. But until the Holy Spirit releases you, stay right where you are, okay? And intercede in prayer for those who want prayer. If you need prayer, please go get it now.
like you do. God, I love you. You're where my help comes from. Give me wisdom. You know just what to do. You know just what to do.
For every single person in the room, that as we end out 2025 and begin 2026, that we will do so like Simeon did, with the Holy Spirit resting on us and springing up from within us and pressing down on us. Do what only you can do, Lord Jesus. Our heart cries out for you. We need you. We want you. So we invite you again and again and again and again. Come inside. Stay. Abide within. In Kaylee. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. If you want more prayer, you can go after we dismiss. It's fine. They'll hang out for a few minutes. Next week, we'll be sharing our 2026 theme. I hope you're able to make it. It's going to be a good way to start the year. And I invite you to have coffee chats, bite bagels, and puzzles now that in the foyer. Okay, but again, if you could be respectful of people who are getting prayer, just move quietly to the foyer. That would be great. Okay, thanks. Keep playing, he said.